Good day, everyone. Welcome to the CSU Relentless Gardener Podcast. I am Colorado State University Horticultural Specialist Linda Langelo, and joining me today is Luann Aiken, Garden Ambassador of Tagawa Gardens. Now, let's get to the heart of it, where we explore the horticultural topic of houseplant care for the winter. Good morning, Luann.
And a good morning, winter morning to you too, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. A little cold, but good.
And getting colder, they say.
No, please. Okay.
You don't want to talk about it. Okay.
Yes. So I have a question for you that do you think it's harder for people who have houseplants for them to care for their houseplants during the winter? Because I believe they can be stressed faster and easier in the winter than any other time of the year.
Our winter houseplants really can struggle a bit if we don't change our ways, if we don't adapt to their structure and needs and light for light and water in the winter, as opposed to how we treat them in the summertime. So you're absolutely right there. It's much easier to destroy them much faster in the winter than in the summer. So that's why we're here, to try to run a short circuit that whole problem.
Well, here's one: rabbit's foot fern. Okay.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. And so it likes it on the porch in the summer.
In the summertime, right.
But it doesn't like, because it's not a heated porch, but it stays warm because it's south side. And
okay.
So it doesn't like those cold drafts. So I move it further into the house in a bedroom, and it's fine. But,
right.
You might think its leaves are browning, it's dry. No, that's not the issue.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you do that, do you change the watering?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I
And
do.
What is it you do, right?
Yeah, well.
You cut back a bit, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's happy. It's happy.
Yeah. And see, that's it. That's we can't tell the plants what to do. We can try to figure out what it is they want, as you well know, right?
Yes.
Based on your book, as you well know.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to read your plants a little bit. Or a lot. And I think one of the biggest challenges in the wintertime is our air indoors is so dry from, our heaters, unless you have a humidifier. And I'd love to see how many people do, because more people could use a humidifier just to help those plants out, and themselves, their skin, their breathing. But even if they're not truly dormant, like some of our trees go dormant, they've slowed down a lot and they just don't need that much moisture. It's really setting themselves up for, we're setting them up for root damage, because mm-hmm. they are not using the moisture we're giving them. So that's the time where you do what the plant needs, not just because you're on schedule and it's Saturday morning and you're going to water your plants.
Right. And the thing is, number one thing not to do now is to transplant or propagate any houseplant whatsoever.
Yeah. If you have really great lighting, you can get away with some of that. But by and large, definitely wait till you see some growth. And that's going to be late March, early April. That plant is telling you that it's starting to wake up. It can recover from transplant shock. And we, again, it's just a case of kind of thinking like a plant. And it doesn't make sense to give them a bunch of food in the wintertime, because their metabolism is down. Some people say don't give them any fertilizer at all. Others say give them a really weak fertilizer, maybe once a month, because that root system is still going, trying to support the plant. But it's just a whole different ballgame when they're indoors in the winter, as opposed to when they're either indoors or outdoors in the summer.
Well, maybe people can think of it like this. Our hormones change with age, right? So their hormones are shifting. It's winter. Their hormones are going to do this. And when the elements are right and the environment's right, their hormones are going to do something else. And,
Another problem I see, and we touched on it with talking about the dry air, plants that are okay by a heat vent that never gets used in the summertime, that's one thing. If you have them still in that same place in the wintertime and the heat is on and they're constantly getting blasted with that hot, dry air, that's a real recipe for problems. And people just need to step back and look, where's the plant growing? Why is it struggling? Oh, because the heat's on now and it's getting blasted every couple of hours with, you know, a whole bunch of hot air. And that can be an issue for drying out.
Yeah.
No matter how much you water, it can still dry out. The foliage could dry out with that hot, dry heat.
Right. And people still need to remember that if it's in a clay pot, it's going to dry out faster than if it's in a plastic container of some kind. And that never goes away, no matter what season.
Because that clay pot breathes.
Right.
It lets air in and out, as opposed to a ceramic pot or a plastic pot. Right.
But don't you think it's so easy that overwatering, it's almost like neglect works better than overwatering.
Yeah. Number one cause of houseplant death is overwatering. People loving their plants to death. And we see it all the time. And I'm a big fan of the idea, even though you don't want to be transplanting, you know, in the middle of winter, every now and then, if it looks like the plant is struggling, a couple things you can do, knock that plant out and make sure that the roots look fresh and generally white or light in color, maybe tan. You don't have to disturb the roots, but just knock them out and see how things look, see how they smell, and then pop it right back in the pot if there isn't an issue there, if your issue lies someplace else. But close and personal with your plants, especially the roots, which you don't tend to look at very often, it's really a good practice and just getting to know your plant better.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing I find, and I forget this myself, these are tropical plants. They're in our homes. But when they're out in their natural environment, or when we put them out in the summer, we don't have to clean the leaves off, right? The dust interferes with the amount of sunlight, the amount of photosynthesis. They still need that even in the winter. And so, you know, either we get too busy or we forget. That's important to just wipe off those leaves.
Or some of us who have four dogs and don't dust as often in general as we should. Yeah, it's a really good practice because the leaves need to be clean to do their job.
Yeah.
Regardless of the amount of light you're able to give them. But it certainly makes a handicap for them if the leaves are dusty and those little wonderful little stomas don't open and close properly and get the light that they can.
Right.
Another thing that I recommend for people is going back to the watering is with a smaller plant, you can tell when it's drying out just by even by tipping it. You can lift it if it's small enough, or if it's a little larger, you just tip it and you get a sense of the weight of that plant and that pot when it's well watered. Don't water it again until it's noticeably lighter. Until generally the rule is the top, but you know, bigger pots are going to have bigger reservoirs, but if it's a medium-sized pot, don't water it again until that top inch or two of soil has started to dry out. Because down below, and this again is a good way to get to know your roots by tapping them out. When you think it's time to water, gently knock that plant out or use a water meter, which are very inexpensive, or use a chopstick and put it in the pot as far as you can, leave it in there for a little bit, pull it out and see what portion of the base of that chopstick shows signs of moisture. So you don't have to have high tech to do this. You lift it, you use a water meter, you use a chopstick, something like that. You can dig around, but a lot of people just don't want to disturb the roots that much. So there are ways to figure out what the watering should be with very simple technology.
Oh my gosh, there's going to be a run on chopsticks now.
Chopsticks, yeah. Time for some Chinese food, which I love anyway. Yeah.
That's a really great tip. Thanks for that.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. If you are trying to get your plants to bloom in the winter, it's going to take grow lights of some kind and good quality ones. Your average shop light really isn't the best way to go. In that case, you can kind of deter their dormancy or the semi-dormancy. And that's a little bit different. And if they're growing actively, trying to flower, you will up the fertilizer, you will up some of the watering. But even then, I would encourage people, if they have a place where they have grow lights set up, to keep a fan going to keep it, it can be a tiny little fan. You just need some air circulation in there because you are keeping a more humid environment for those plants. And it's really helpful in terms of preventing disease, just to keep that air moving just a bit and to keep some of those fungal issues at bay.
Well, with the supplemental lighting, do you recommend that on certain days where we have a lot of overcast days in a row, would you recommend somebody, you know, utilizing like LED lights on the plants?
It certainly wouldn't hurt. And they make, you don't have to think in terms of the shop light type fixture for grow lights anymore. There are grow light bulbs that fit into your average kind of gooseneck lighting fixture, mm-hmm. or just a regular lamp. A little something extra will certainly help. And it looks fine. It doesn't look like it's industrial at all. There are a lot of ways to get around it and still have it look decent if you want to keep plants in your living room in a darker space than they would normally occupy in the summertime. Yeah, mm-hmm. grow lights, and they're not that expensive anymore. Prices are coming down. And it's just a great way to give them a little boost without making your living room look like your garage.
Oh, that's okay. Those of us who love plants, we just go out of our way to do whatever we can, you know, and then we feel bad when something happens, you know.
One other point I would make, we talked a little bit about not having your plants near a heat vent. Mm-hmm. Don't put them right next to the front door or back door or any door that's opening and closing on a regular basis, because that chill can set them back too. It's a stressor. And our whole goal in growing plants of any kind is to reduce the stress as much as we can. And for trees, for veggies, for other things, there's all kinds of ways you can do that. For houseplants indoors in the winter, don't put them on a blast of hot air or cold air. So if you have to move them a little bit, and maybe you set up one of those grow lights to get it away from a window that's right next to your front door, you can do that pretty simply. And for people who, as you say, are passionate about their plants, you know, do what you can to make their life a little bit easier, because we're asking these tropical plants to do things that aren't normal for them, which is basically grow indoors, right? So let's, you know, do what we can to make their lives a little bit easier, and they will pay us back in kind.
Yes. You know, and Peace Lily is a great example of one of those things. And then people can say, well, I just watered it, but it's still wilting. Well, that's not the reason it's wilting. It doesn't like the cold drafts. You can't just put on a coat or a sweater like you can.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, peace lilies are a good example to bring up, because they are a great low light plant. They're one of the better low light plants for flowering. Mm-hmm. You still get some really pretty flowers, mm-hmm. but it's really easy to, they like to be consistently a little moist. Okay. And they don't want, it's really easy to overwater them. And if they start to get that whole collapsed look, the last thing you want to do is water them some more. They're limp, they're rooting, they're wilting so many times because their roots are beginning to rot, and the roots can no longer convey the water to the top growth of the plant. So wilting plants aren't always call for more water.
And, you know, in my house where it's located, in the summer, I need to water it like 2, sometimes 3 times in the week. But in the winter, I need to back off to like a week or longer. That's the biggest difference. And that's a major difference.
Yeah. And it's cutting back on their hydration by almost half sometimes.
Right, right. And that's, I think, the thinking that people need to embrace. And that's easy to forget, you know, that's easy to forget.
Right. Yeah. One myth that I would like to debunk is the idea that pebble trays really help create humidity around the plant. If you think, I mean, it sounds good in the beginning, a pebble tray being like a large saucer or plate or whatever you have, tray, whatever you have handy. And then you fill it with marbles or smallish marble sized rocks or something. And then you keep that little reservoir. You set the plants on top of the pebble tray, just above the water that you've put in around those marbles or rocks. If you think about it, any humidity that creates disperses immediately, right? Yeah. I love to see plants grouped in a collection. But a pebble tray is not the answer to having them increasing their humidity around their little world.
Yeah, I had a client, it was yesterday, and they had a plant. I can't remember exactly now what I think it was a peace lily. And oh my gosh, this peace lily was eaten by dogs, and everything has happened to this peace lily, and it's come through the last 2 years. And now he's like, help, I did something else again. Well, it's the cold draft for one. Yeah. But you know, the humidity level wasn't where it should be. And he said, is it okay to group them with other plants? I said, yeah, plants with that like the same indirect light. And yes, you can group them together. That will help loads with all of that for you. And you may even water a little less. And so he was thrilled. So I hope he has great success bringing it back.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of watering and humidity, misting is good for about 3 minutes. Misting is not a way to increase the humidity. It doesn't hurt the plant, but you know, it's not really going to help long.
Well, this client was doing that. I mean, I don't know. He was doing that like 3 or 4 times a day. And I'm like, no.
This is hard, you know? He's really, really trying. He cares.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. And that plant means so much to him. And I said, well, you have another peace lily in your house? Because he brought that up. And I said, well, why don't you group it with that one? Because that one is doing well.
Yeah, exactly. Move to plant B to plant A. And that's a really good point, that just aesthetically, I think plants look really nice as a small collection, 3, 5, whatever you can manage.
Yeah.
Rather than having a solo plant out there, just being a solo plant, have a little arrangement, make a little plant neighborhood, you know, can be small. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but I think design-wise, I think plants look best. It's just like if you have a really pretty rose bush and you put one rose bush in the middle of a landscape that otherwise doesn't have anything else with it. That doesn't look natural.
No.
So yeah, group them together, make it more of a cozy little relationship between the plants. And I think people will find it more appealing visually.
Right. So any other tips you want to share?
Yeah. Yeah. And it has to do with pests. We kind of talked about the diseases and the whole notion of watering too much and then the roots start to fail and then the plant wilts and you can't figure out what's going on. The one that comes to mind most in indoor dry settings is spider mites. And they love hot, dry conditions. Okay. Now you can, if the plant is easy enough to lift and take to the sink or the shower, spider mites hate humidity. So you can keep washing them off and just kind of stay on top of it. Spider mites are spiders. They're not insects. And so any of the pests that you normally might treat as an insect sprays and such, it's not going to work against spider mites. I think the easiest way to attack them is to just keep watching that moisture and wash them away and do what you can to increase the humidity. Yeah. Plants that are stressed get scale, summertime and wintertime, but I think especially wintertime, they look like little half of an oyster sticking to the part of your plant. It's got a little shell on it. And inside that little very protective shell, which is hard to get any pesticide through, is a tiny little critter that's kind of sucking the life out of your plants. So watch for those. If in doubt, look up a picture of the scale on the internet so you know what it is you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And probably some woolly aphids, some kind of the little cottony bugs too, that look like little dabs of cotton candy. Mm-hmm. And again, that little fluff of cotton candy is that little insect's best effort at avoiding pesticides. So yeah, keep a close eye.
And it does a great job because of that covering, let me tell you. And so does scale. They're tough.
Yeah.
They're tougher to get rid of. They're more of a challenge, but you can get rid of them. One other question about water. I know in a lot of water, there's salts and that can build up in the pot. And so do you recommend people use distilled water like every other time or not?
I think it depends on how heavy the lime is, the minerals are in that water. I would at least every now and then get a jug or two or three of distilled water and just flush out. You're not doing it to water the plant. You're flushing out some of that buildup, chemicals and salts in the soil itself. And if you have a chronic problem with that, it may be a good candidate for repotting in the summer, in the spring, when you start to see that new growth. Just get some fresh soil in there, clean the pot. You can put it back in the same pot, but sometimes cleaning the soil in terms of flushing out any buildup, and with fertilizer too, can easily happen when people are over fertilizing and that fertilizer isn't used up. And so it starts to make that scaly rim around the pot, or it just pretty much makes the soil less root friendly. So yeah, just watch your plants, listen to them, talk to them a little bit, let them talk to you in terms of, you're telling me something and I just need to figure out what you're trying to tell me, because you're wilting too soon, or your tips are burned, maybe from overwatering, maybe from mineral buildup. Just try to get to know them a little bit rather than buying them, bringing them home, sticking them someplace, coming up with a routine that never changes. That's not going to help your plants or you.
Right. You know, and I always tell people, you know, research it before you bring it home and make sure you have a decent location. You may really like something, but it's not going to fit your environment.
Right. And it's interesting. CSU, your school, your employer, did a study a few years back. And if you ever come across it, I'd love to get a copy, debunking the whole notion that plants clean the air. They help our blood pressure.
Yeah.
But the NASA study that originally indicated that plants did clean the air, the protocols don't apply to a room-sized place for a plant to grow, or a building, or your living room. It's interesting science, but it was apples and oranges, as it turned out. So find me that study, would you please?
Okay. Well, you'd have to live in a jungle, or you have to live in the middle of a forest. I mean, it's just like having a windbreak of pine trees. I mean, they have natural chemicals that actually help clean the air. But I mean, it's you're talking hundreds. You're not talking, oh, my peace lily, go to work for me. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah. But at the same time, there is hard science to prove that plants do benefit us in a lot of ways. There was that CSU Drexel research that I referred to showed that it doesn't work the way that the NASA study indicated. But there's a quote that I really liked. It says, indoor plants improve our mental and physical well-being in ways we don't even realize. So it's blood pressure, it's calming, it's gentle on your mind. Yeah.
Here's the thing. They're green, right? 90% of our plant world is green. So that green is the color of your heart chakra. And so it ties into your intuition. And I know science has yet to prove that, but you know, the grass is green. You know, we need that green, and green is a calming color. It's not like red. Okay. It's totally the opposite.
Right. They have shown that houseplants improve the recovery of, it was a Kansas KSU study that showed that post-surgical patients show a reduction in pain meds and heart rate if they're surrounded by a few healthy plants. And they have to be healthy. It's depressing to look at a philodendron with, you know, it's a foot-long vine and one leaf.
Well, and plants are already at a higher vibration. Plants and animals have a little higher vibration than we do. So when you come in contact with that, I mean, acoustic signals, they understand, science understands acoustic signals now. You share that. There's no way that you can not help share that if you're in the same environment. So
all kinds of reasons to have houseplants in your home, in your office.
Yeah.
But they need to do their job. They need to be healthy. And that depends in a lot of ways, most ways on us.
In the work environment, there was a study I read that if you have a houseplant, those who have houseplants or a tropical plant on your desk or in your office, it actually helps you improve your work environment and your efficiency.
Your productivity, exactly right.
Yeah, and
exactly.
So I think that's cool. That's
good. Excellent. I love it. I love it. And this is Houseplant Month. We're in January as we record. This is Houseplant Month, National Houseplant Month. So we'll fall in love with a houseplant, bring it home, and be kind to it.
Oh, more than one, because you need that group, right?
There is that. But you have to be able to give them the care we've been talking about.
Right. Absolutely. And if not, reach out to Extension or reach out to Tagawa Gardens.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, is that all the tips you have?
I think we covered it, my girl. I think we covered it.
Okay, yeah. Good job. Great. Right. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Luann, for joining
me. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
And thank you to the listening audience. Tune in next time when we get to the heart of the matter on another horticultural topic.